But it's like every year, one verse he takes me back to. Because, you know, there are things in 2014 every one of us wish we'd done different. There's some things in 2014, praise God, we did the right way. But as we enter 2015, I believe it's everyone's desire as a follower of Christ is, again, more of Him and in our life and less of our own. And to do that, we do that through the Word, through His Word. That's how our life has changed. That's how we are strengthened. That's how we encourage one another, is through the reading, the studying, and applying the Word of God in our life. You know, this, you can get on the website right now, and you can check out anything. You have an interest in anything, I don't care if it's origami, you make stuff, whatever that stuff is, you know, or planting flowers, or baking, anything that you find interesting, you can get on the website somewhere and figure it out, or hear what other people think about it. It's the same way in our life with the Word of God, you know, except we don't go to a website for that. We go to the Bible. We hear what His Word says. And it's the difference that His Word will make in our life and make a difference in your life in 2015. You know, Psalms 119, 105 is one that we share all the time, and especially the first of the year. And it's very familiar to us. It says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And when I talk about light to my path, it made me think of this. You know, you see it sometimes in the movies, or have yourself ever been someplace and you walk into a dark room and you turn on a light, and as soon as you turn it on, cockroaches take off running for a dark corner. Boy, they just boogie. Okay. I remember one time I saw cockroaches take off one night on patrol. Here what it was, the lady had a pot of stew on the stove, and I thought it was chili soup. And it was cockroaches in that thing. And they took off, oh, I tell you what, But as soon as the light came on, they took off booging real quick. See, the cockroach doesn't want to be seen in the light because he knows the light comes on, you recognize him. And what happens when you recognize him? You kill him, right? You destroy him, you take him out. A cockroach just wants to stay in the dark and do his own thing. But when the light comes on, it boogies. Well, we can look at sin the same way. Until the light of Christ is turned on into our lives, we walk around in sin, just doing our thing, and sometimes unknowingly maybe headed to hell. That cockroach is there, and he doesn't know. That light comes on in a minute, 30 seconds, whatever, his time is over with. Boom, he's going to be squished. Or he'll be going around the place, okay, when that light comes on. Sometimes the cockroach doesn't know any difference. I mean, they tell me there's two things that will last forever if a nuclear attack. One is a cockroach, and number two is a Hostess Twinkie. They say that preservative, they'll last 40 years. You know, I don't know. But he doesn't know. The light comes on. Boom, he takes off of the dark. Why? Because he is familiar with darkness. They operate in darkness. Why? That's just the way they are. That's the way they've always been. Kind of like a mole. A mole has no eyeballs I know of. They walk. They're in darkness. And they get out in the light. They can't go anywhere. Okay, because that's what they're used to. And at times in our own life, we get used to the darkness that we live in. We don't recognize this darkness. It's just the way life has always been. It's always been this way. We've always done things this way. Why? Because we don't know anything different. And that's where the Word of God comes in. As we allow His light to shine into our life this year, He'll expose those sins in our life. He'll expose those things that are being done in darkness. And when the light exposed to it, man, the light, if you allow it, will destroy. Just like a cockroach. It will destroy that thing. Now, I know at times, I never talked to a cockroach, but I would imagine he would be saying, "Turn that light off! Turn that light off! I like it back in the dark corner!" You know?
Or maybe he talks more like this, John Wayne, I'm not sure.
But I know it would want back in the darkness because it's more comfortable, it's more familiar. And in our life is the same way. We may be in sin, we may not even recognize it as sin, but when the Word of God comes into our life, we realize, man, we're in sin. That light shines on that sin, and we want to get rid of it. But if we don't get rid of it real quick, man, we'll find ourselves going back into it. We'll find a dark corner. Even right here, the lights are on, but I can find a little dark corner somewhere in this place. even with all these lights on. And that's the way with sin. If we don't get rid of it, if we don't step on it, if we don't destroy it the minute we recognize it through the Word of God, it'll still exist. It might be hiding in a dark corner, but it's just waiting for that little light to get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and then it'll come back out again. In my life, like I said, 15 years ago, Friday, I gave my life to the Lord. And man, that light of Christ just came into me and exposed my life to me. And man, just boom. It's like, I don't know, it's like one of them radar guns you had back in the 50s on the sci-fi. You know, it just started destroying the sin in my life. It just started taking it out. And I was glad to get rid of it. A lot of stuff I was doing, I didn't know it was sin. Well, let me say it this way. I did not never recognize it as sin. Okay, I had an excuse for everything I did. But when I allowed the light of Christ shine upon my life, I realized that is sin. I had a choice. Embrace it or get rid of it. And praise God, He took it away from me. You know, this year, what we need to do is just declare that ourselves, yourself, myself, that we will walk only in the light of Christ. That we will not allow His light to be dimmed in our lives. If we will just allow His light to continue on day and night, we will walk holy in the eyes of our God, because our God is holy. Allow His light to shine on, not to shut the lights off. No, allow His light to be dimmed in our life. You know, just like that cockroach, you know. One of the best ways to keep cockroaches probably out, I would say, is leave your light on all night. Maybe go to your neighbor's house, is on vacation. You know, I don't know. But if you leave your light on, they won't come out. They want to take off. And you think right away, you might be thinking, must see, if I leave my light on all the time, Judy, that's going to cost me $1.40 a year on a light bulb. I don't want to waste money. $1.40. So I guess you might say that in order to leave the light on, it's going to cost you something. Amen? And the same way with Jesus Christ. Amen. To allow His light to shine through your life, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you falling into the lusts and the sins of this world. It's going to allow you to allow that Word of God just to illuminate your life and follow it. To let that light shine in your life. This is a year is awesome. It's going to be an awesome year for Christians. It's going to be an awesome year to see what God is going to be doing as we allow Him access into us. It's going to be awesome. But anyway, to help remind you to let the light of Christ shine. Shut the light off a second, will you, Aaron? Beep. I know, it won't blind anybody. But, here, huh? And we do this a lot on Christmas Eve. Brother Joe, you want to pass these out for me? And they've been tested. Pat tested every one of them. You want to pass these out, brother? You want to pass these out for me? Yeah. They've all been tested, Pat, right? You got new batteries in them and stuff.
If they don't work, you just have to wiggle them a
little. Yeah, it's working now. Yeah. But it shows on it, I believe it says, smile, God loves you. And again, we look at the Word of God, we have it because He does love us.
Yes.
The Word of God is Jesus Christ, and it was given to us to help us get through this darkness. Now, I know that you turn that light on, you might think, wow, I won't help you walk very much. But look right now. It's kind of light in here, right? It's kind of light right now in here anyway. So that light just adds a little bit. Now it's totally darkness in here right now. That light would be shining like crazy. But if you take your light and everyone turn the light on at the same time, what a difference it would make in darkness. Them cockroaches would be running everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Now, borrow your light there. I didn't keep one for myself. So this is the Word of God. He said, the Word lights my path. It's right out in front of me. So as I walk, temptation, sin, destruction, sickness, disease, all that.
Hallelujah.
Be removed from me. Now, it doesn't talk to my left or my right. You guys are on your own, okay? You're on your own. You turn your own light on. But as I have this light on my path, it's going to scare them cockroaches away. I won't be stepping on any of them. Just by following this light. And it's the same way in our lives with the Lord. That Word of God. Allow it to shine. How does it shine, Pastor? By reading His Word and yielding yourself to what it says to do.
Yes.
You know, the Word of God is shining this way. And you might be walking over here. And that's when we say, I don't know what's going on. I've been to church every Sunday for 14 years. And I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't have any of that thing that the pastor talks about. Well, this is how you're supposed to walk over here.
Yeah.
The light of Christ is shining here, but you're walking over here. You know, it's not just being hearers of the Word, it's what?
Doing.
Being the doer of the Word also. And when, again, this year realize that God loves us so much that He sent His Word, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, to come into our life, to forgive us of our sins, and show us how to walk in a life that's pleasing to Him. That's what the Word's for. And as a born-again Christian, as a follower of Christ, that's what you do. That's where all the blessings come from. That's where all His promises come from.
Yeah.
His promises come from us allowing Him access to our life. Again, we can't expect retirement benefits from General Electric if you never worked for General Electric.
That's right.
You know, I can't work for Clouds all my life and expect to get a retirement check from GE and my insurance maybe from Edmonds. Nobody expects it from Edmonds, do they? No, I'm just kidding you, brother. See what happens when you write my line today, Fred. So. But again, it's the same with the Lord. Every one of us want to go to heaven. Every one of us want an eternal life. Okay, but it starts here upon this earth. It's not all of a sudden that the minute you die, you're changed into this angel and you get these little wings and you fly around. Folks, we do not turn into angels, okay? Our loved ones are not angels flying around up in heaven right now. They are in the presence of the Lord worshiping Him right now. We don't turn into angels. I know a lot of times we want to think about, oh, this little angel flying around, or my angel touched me today, or my loved one sitting here beside me today. No. That's a lot of farce. That's wrong. They are in the presence of the living God. They're not around here at all. My God. Now, God will bring the memory back to us. He'll bring us peace by thinking of a loved one, you know. You might have a dream some night of your loved ones. Yeah, that's how God just brings peace into our life that way. But someday, very soon, for all those who died in Christ, we're going to be with them very, very soon. If this year, like any other year, we allow His Word to shine. Now, if you have a flashlight, but it's not turned on, you know, one thing you have to do, inside there is a power source, right? There's a battery in it. It's a brand new battery. I actually bought new batteries this time, okay? You have to turn the switch on and apply it to where you're walking. Same way the Word of God. But it's up to us to do that. It's up to us to apply it into our life, to allow us, allow Him total access to our life. As we enter again in 2015, as we enter into this age, this time in the life of man, the things that the apostles share with us through Christ, there is so more powerful for us as a church body. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to be there for a moment. I'm going to go to chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 13. Again, these are instructions to us, the church today. It's not something that's written a couple thousand years ago as a storybook. This Word is alive and it applies to our life today. May we be encouraged by this Word. May we be encouraged by all the words of God. But again, I just speak out more and more this year that just let yourself have more time with God. Put Him number one in your life. Put Him above everything else. Meaning, let Him have the final word. If you have to choose between man's word and what God says to do, yield yourself to what God says. But in verse 13 it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." See, okay, I don't want you to be crying because those who died. Don't grieve, he's saying, for those who died in Christ. Man, as do the rest who have no hope. And I see a lot of times, I know our hearts can be heavy at times when loved ones pass on, but man, get over it quickly as a Christian. Rejoice that they have made it to the promise, that they are in the presence of the Lord. To sit around day after day after day grieving the loss of a loved one who's in the presence of the Lord, you are wasting your life. Please, I don't mean that hard, but I'm just trying to tell you, don't rejoice that, man, that they made it rejoice because of hope we have in Christ Jesus, and then continue on with your life here upon this earth, because there's still more work to do. You know? I was going to say, just because one cow took off, you still got to milk the rest of them. And I guess that might be a good thing. Just because one person went to heaven doesn't mean the rest of them doesn't need the Lord. Amen? And we are blessed. You know, if my wife would go before me, I'd be praising God for her in my life. I would miss her. But she made it. She's home. And I got to be, you know, whatever reason he left me here for, I need to continue on and share the gospel. Because there's somebody else's wife out there that needs to hear it. Or someone else's husband that needs to hear that gospel. Someone else out there needs to hear the hope I have in Christ. So we got to let our hearts be uplifted. Well, how can you be so happy that your wife just passed away 2 weeks ago? Hey, she's in the presence of the living God. She made it home. She's there. Or your uncle, your dad, or your mother, whatever it is, rejoice that you have that blessed hope in Christ Jesus. You're going to see him again and put that smile on your face. Quit walking around moping like we have no hope. Please, guys, please. I know we all grieve, we all mourn, but man, we come through that mourning because of that hope. Well, I don't know. I never seen my grandpa in church. I don't know. Okay. Maybe he's like the thief on the cross. Maybe the last moment he called out to the living God, saying, God, forgive me. Acknowledge Jesus Christ. I don't know, but that's the blessed hope we have. For everyone that walks upon this earth, that thief on the cross, give us that hope. That loved ones, I don't care how bad they seem to be. That thief on the cross, I hear the parents, oh, I'll never be no good. He's always been in trouble. I tell you what, I wash my hands of him. I sent him to the army, college. We bought him the best of stuff. Next thing you know, he's hanging on the cross. How embarrassing that is to the family. You know, I'm just making this up a little bit. Maybe the family said that. But what happened at last second? He called upon the name of the Lord. And he's in heaven today, and that's where our hope's at. So look at the hope that we have for each loved one that's passed on. And then we need to continue on in our life and share that love, share that gospel of Jesus Christ, that other people may share that blessed hope that we have. But he said, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I believe that, amen? Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And Jesus, he's going to bring them back with him when they come to get us. For this way, we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, a couple things I want to cue off of is, number one is, we who are alive and remain. Now notice he didn't say, those who are alive shall be caught up together with them. That key word is what? Remain. That means to stay with. Yes. To be part of. I'm my wife's husband, as long as she remains with me. And it's hard at times, okay? But she remains with me. So he's saying those who are alive and remain followers of Jesus Christ, those who haven't turned away from the way, those who continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, man, we will be caught up with those who have fallen asleep together. And that quick, the grave shall open up, the dead in Christ will raise up, and the spirit and the body come back together. Our bodies change, and we're out of here. That's the promise right there. That's the promise. It's going to take place. It's going to take place very, very soon. Yes. We call it the rapture of the church, amen? The taking away of the church. The gathering in of the saints. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen very, very soon. So, put a hope on your face. For those who have departed, we have the blessed hope of seeing them again. But don't allow anything in anyone else's life distract you from your own life. Yes. That you have and the decisions that you make for Jesus Christ. Don't allow anyone to come in between you and your relationship with God. No one. God first. God first. Well, Pastor, but you don't know. I know. It can be hard. How do I know it can be hard to have a relationship with God and your spouse doesn't? Ask my wife. Ask her. It can be hard, can it not, Carol? It can be difficult. But you didn't quit. He gives you strength to continue on. He gives you the words to pray and for your husband. You don't give up. And that's where we're at today. You might, but some days you maybe didn't go to church because, by gosh, you've been there three times this week. But it didn't stop you from praying. It didn't stop you from relationship. And we have to look at it that way also, to continue on. Now, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, yes. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. It says, because of the times and the seasons, basically what you're looking at there. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. Listen, he's saying, listen, you guys got knowledge. They say, well, you know, and they say it to us quite often here during the week, well, he'll come like a thief in the night. Not in my house he won't.
Right.
Not in my house. He's come. I know he's come. I'm prepared for him. My door's ready for him to come in. My spiritual doors are not locked. My windows aren't put down in my spiritual house. He's coming very, very soon. And I know the hour and day is very, very near. So he will not come in my house like a thief in the night. And as a born-again Christian, he won't be coming in yours either if you listen to the Word of God. You're prepared for him right now. You know he's coming. In fact, you might even have a teacup set at the table thinking it might be tonight. Maybe have a spot of tea, Lord, before you take me out of here. I know, that's funny. But that's how real it is. The world is saying, oh, we got more time. We got more time. They've been saying for years he's coming back. Look at the signs. Look at the signs. It's very, very, very soon. Who watched the Ohio State football game the other night? Or listened to it? Okay, they won the game. We know now that Monday night they will be playing for a championship. Amen? Do they not? We know that Monday night they'll be playing. Some of you right here, maybe you didn't raise your hand up. Who? Ohio State what? They have a football team? Well, I mean, listen, it could be true. If you're not following, if you're not in the football game, I guess you want to call it, college sports, you might not know the coming of the national ship first time ever game Monday night. But you know, and you're watching for it. You probably got your VCR sets or whatever you do anymore to record the game. Because you care so much that you knew it's coming on Monday night. It's the same way with the coming of the Lord. Christians, you know he's coming. Why? Because you care so much that you read the scriptures, that you see the Word of God. You know that this is true. And you saw the season and the times. You know that everything is completed for the return of Jesus Christ. So you're excited. He will not come to you like a thief in the night. He'll come to you like a welcome. I'm trying to think of somebody that comes to the door. Really, like a pizza delivery man. Something you're expecting. Something that you want. Something that you're already invited. You already ordered. You're just waiting for it to come. And that's what Christ said. We are waiting for him to come to get the church. He will not surprise us. We know the time. You know, Domino says 30 minutes or less. So you know within that 30-minute time, they're coming. The Word of God says here, this is the signs of my return. You won't know the exact time that doorbell ring and Domino's there. And same way with the Lord. You won't know the exact time, but you're going to know the season. We are there right now. And he's coming. So what he's saying, man, those who remain with him. We have to remain. We have to. If you don't have a relationship right now with them, you can't remain with them. It's time to start that relationship. There's nothing upon this earth is worth going to hell for. There's nothing. Amen. He wants to start that relationship to remain with them forever and ever and ever. For you all are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Okay, don't sleep. Sleeping is done at night. And don't be in darkness, he's saying, like other people are. Don't. Don't do. And he says, be sober. Be sober. First thing you think of, okay, well, preacher, if I got to be sober, how many beers can I have before I'm not sober? Don't we always wonder, how far can I go, Joe, before I'm in sin? Well, 1 Peter 4:7. But let's jump over to 1 Peter. Keep your finger in Thessalonians. We're coming back. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter shared with us. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Well, okay, once you be sober, that way you can pray. That way you know what you're saying. You know, you can yield yourself to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that you pray the way that He wants you to. Second verse we'll look at, then we'll talk more about it, is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Again, be of sober spirit. Sober. What's it mean to be sober?
Unintoxicated.
Unintoxicated? Okay, okay. You know, yeah, that's good.
Or intoxicated with the word.
No, sober means, you know, we're talking about sober. Sober means not being influenced, okay? In law enforcement, which I served a couple of years, we had a thing that we'd arrest people for occasionally. It was called DWI, driving while intoxicated. When you arrested someone, you would issue two tickets. The court made you write two tickets. At that time in the state of Ohio, if you would blow in them little machines, Kathy, that measure alcohol, if you blew a 0.10% of blood alcohol, you were considered drunk, you couldn't drive a car, and you're arrested. So you get a ticket if you tested 0.10 or above. And the highest I had someone test was 0.44, believe it or not. Should have been dead. I mean, yeah. But if you tested less than 0.10, you could be arrested for driving under the influence. Well, what's the difference? Well, 0.10, they knew at that time you could not operate a car properly, that your judgment was off. But you could be with one beer under the influence. Now, right now, today, I haven't had a drink probably 7:30. Oh, no, I have had a drink for years right now. For years and years. And I used to drink Jack Daniel. That was my favorite drink. And I could drink quite a few. If I had one drink today, right now, one drink, it would raise my blood alcohol up 2 points. And within an hour, it would go down 1 point. So you kind of measure yourself how well you stay within under that 0.10. But if I had a drink of Jack Daniels right now, boom, get in my car and drive, I'd only test probably 0.02, which is not legally drunk. Right? But at 0.02, I would be under the influence of alcohol. I'd be the goofiest thing you've seen in a long, long time. My body couldn't contain it. I would try to speak. I'd be laughing probably. Man, what's going on here? You know? I would not be sober. I'd be under the influence. The alcohol is having an effect on my life. Have you ever done anything stupid while you're drunk? Don't raise your hands up. Have you ever been under the influence? And you do things. Have you ever call someone up and tell them off when you're drunk? And the next day, did I call you the other day? Or, I mean, that's how I got one of my jobs. I got drunk, stole a bottle of whiskey, and Robson hired me to cook the next day. You know? But I was under the influence. I wasn't sober. So what the Word of God is saying, man, be of sober spirit. He said, well, that's good, Pastor, because I don't drink. So I'm always of sober spirit. But he's talking about don't be under the influence. Be sober from sin. Think of that. Sober spirit means not to be under the influence of sin. If so, it will give you poor judgment for our Christian walk. It will cause us to deny Christ. Be a sober spirit. Don't be influenced by the sin of this world. Don't yield to it. Influence of sin, I see it as sin that is accepted by the world, almost second nature to mankind. Like, hey, do it. Everyone else does it. Again, falling under the influence of sin. We know that sin separates us from our Lord. Amen? It does. That's why it says confess your sins quickly. Don't allow it to stay in your life because otherwise it blocks our communications.
Right.
But don't operate under the influence of sin. You can sin today. Well, the old saying goes, you can lie last night, brother. And then today you got to lie again to cover the lie from last night. And then tomorrow I can't remember the lie I lied yesterday, but the other day, if I make another lie, and it just keeps going and going, and you're under the influence of it. It's affecting the way your judgment. Some sin you commit, he's got a hold of you. It won't let go. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins to the Lord, repent from them, and go on. Maybe you get involved in a shady deal someday as a Christian, and you drink of water. I think one of them cockroaches right down my throat. No beetle bug. But just maybe you compromise the Word of God and you sin. And someone else is there with you. And you sin the next day, man, you want to witness to them. But man, they just saw that you lied, cheated, or stole last night. How can I tell them what they're doing? It's sin when, man, I just did it last night. So what happens? I don't share that with you, Steve. Just whatever it is I can share with you, maybe to share light upon your life, maybe cause you to come to the Lord. I can't do it now because, man, I'm in my own sin. How can I tell anybody? And then the next thing, Satan comes in and says, well, don't judge one another. Don't judge one another. And so instead of confessing your sin and repenting from it, you stay into it, and now it has influenced everything that you're doing. You know, some ways we do it is lying in certain circumstances. You know, people expect people to lie anymore. Yeah. We expect politicians to lie to us, don't we? Isn't that sad? Yeah. Kathy's shaking her head now. Huh? What's that?
I say, but that part usually comes true.
And most times, it's hard. I mean, we have good born-again Christians in public places, you know. But it's always the bad that gets the vocals. You know what I'm saying? But people expect them we call them little white lies. So you lie when you call work sick and when you're not? I mean, yeah, come on, man. I can call sick and I get paid for being off sick, you know? So we call sick and then you realize, oh, man, your TV's broken and you can't watch that game. You called off the watch, Fred. So you got to drive over to Starkey's house to watch the game. And on the way over to Starkey's house, you pass Joe, your supervisor, and he waves at you, you know? So now you got a choice, either confess it or say, I was getting Starkey to drive me to the hospital, you know? So now we find ourselves at the hospital trying to cover up the first sin. And it goes on and on and on. And what do they call a person who lies?
A liar.
Think of that, a liar. That's a harsh word, but think of that. We can operate under the influence, you know. And a lie is a lie. Oh, it won't hurt nothing, but you got to watch out. You know, again, we shared before, the phone rings. Hey, Tom, I'm not here. Oh, hey, Dad's not here right now. You not just lied, you called someone else a lie also. Wow. So, what happens a few years later? When you call that person who lied for you, they lie. Tom, I'm not here. It just keeps snowballing. You just say, well, they can't come to the phone right now, or they don't want to come to the phone right now. Be honest. I mean, be honest. Hey, Bonnie, the pastor on the phone. Tom, I don't want to talk to him. Just be honest with me, you know? But, you know, when we lie, it really messes up things. And when we do this, it interferes with our relationship with God. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Jesus died to pay the debt of our sins. Why then are we voluntarily sinning? God forgive us. You know, this and little things like that, guys. Under the influence of it. Stealing. Maybe taking credit for something you didn't do. Maybe taking credit, you know. Maybe I come home someday and I say, man, Carol, I like the way you move their furniture and stuff. Well, actually, she had three people there and moved their furniture for her. But she, yeah, I just thought I'd go ahead and do it for you. I thought you'd like it that way. Took someone else's credit for it. That's still lying. That's lying and also cheating because you just stole.
Deception,
yes. Yeah. Cheating. I mean, most people expect you to cheat on your taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone does it. Cheat. Well, think about that. Cheating is, number one, you're lying. Okay? You're lying. Number two, you're stealing. That's two sins in one. And then the third thing, you're always waiting when you look at the phone, it says IRS. Oh, no, they got me, you know? So you want to go and apply for government help or college. If I apply for this loan to go to college, they might check my returns and they'll find out I don't have 12 kids. Oh, wow, you know? So then it freezes you from getting maybe a higher education or getting an education. It just keeps snowballing. There's no little sin. It can have devastating influences in our life. In the life of those around us. So we cannot, we have to be of sober spirit. Do not allow sin to occupy our life. And folks, I know it's hard. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave us His Word. We can turn away from that. We don't have to go through that. You know, we don't. We can be honest and let God bless us. Man, when you're honest, even when your honesty causes you trouble, and you take the trouble anyway, it blesses God. It blesses people. You know, I had a case one time that the defense attorney called me and said, Starkey, did they say on the radio that he didn't have a license? Very simple. I arrested a guy with no license. I stopped at 3 o'clock in the morning for suspicious of robbery. But I could say, well, yes. They told him on the radio he didn't have a license, so I arrested him for that. I said, no. I know I stopped him because he's behind Barrett Supply, 3 o'clock in the morning, and no one should be back there. He took off from me, and I stopped him. Finally, I have a license. I issued him a ticket. No probable cause. Case dismissed. He didn't have a license, but I had the probable cause to stop him, according to the eyes of the court. And praise God for the courts. They were watching out for our rights. But I could have so much easily lied. Well, yeah, I heard him say that over the phone. They would have pled the case. I lost the case, but in the eyes of the court, I gain a lot of integrity because of not lying. And that's the same way God looks at us. When our truth gets us in more trouble than lying, and we tell the truth, it brings integrity to our Father in heaven. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. In verse 7, it says, for those who sleep to their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. Again, we're talking about in darkness. Huh? I'm right after verse 6, honey. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
We're in Peter.
Yeah, but I told you to keep your finger there in 1 Thessalonians.
You didn't tell us to go.
But everyone else came back. But you're in with it. We'll wait for Carol. We'll continue on this message here. You're right, honey. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, continue verse 7. Are you there, hon? Okay. Thank you. For those who sleep, they're sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. Again, in darkness is what he's talking about. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, he says, to encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brother, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Talking to the church, live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, abolish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak,
yes,
and be patient with all men. I'll say again, ladies, it says, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. So don't repay evil with evil. For if someone does something to you, find a way of getting them back by helping them. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do not quench the spirit. Do not dispense prophetic utterance. Despise prophetic utterance. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Now he said examine everything carefully. Examine the instructions you receive from your pastor, from your minister, from those who are teaching you, those who are giving you instructions. Check it out. And those things that line up the Word of God, hang on to it. But stuff that does not, don't keep it. Abstain from every form of evil. And if you have a King James Bible, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen to that. If it looks like it's evil, it looks like it's sin, stay away from it. Stay away from it. That's the best thing I can say. If it appears it could be sin, well, Pastor, I'm not doing nothing wrong, but it doesn't look right. Well, the Lord is the one that told us, and I shared this around the table, I think Thursday or Friday here. My wife and I, a lot of times we drive to the church separately, and we'll leave maybe at the same time. And we'll go out in the back parking lot, and she'll say, well, I'll see you at home, honey. Okay. I won't kiss my wife in the back parking lot of the church. Because someone was asking that preacher back there, some woman, kissing her. Well, I'm serious. I'm telling you what. I got crucified one time because some lady kissed me in the hallway here, and someone misinterpreted it. And yeah. She kissed me, I didn't kiss her. But I won't kiss my wife in the back parking lot because of that reason. I might kiss her in my office before she leaves. But people, they want to start a rumor. And I don't know. Like I shared before, Billy Graham would not even get on an elevator with another woman. He'd wait for an empty one. So we have to do that. If it looks like it could be sin, if someone might take it the wrong way, guys, man, stay away from it. Some of the ladies sometimes are here in the church working while I'm here. And if we're here by ourselves, we leave, both doors are always unlocked. I don't want anyone to think, oh, what's the pastor doing with that lady? You know, I don't want to cause any problems, any rumors, or whatever. It's just making sure that we don't give Satan a foothold anywhere. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. It says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I just pray again, we enter 2015, we do it with a greater desire to allow the Word of God to govern us. We continue to encourage one another. Stay away from evil. Stay away from sin. And encourage one another. And devote more and more of our life to the coming of the Lord, to the reading of His Word, to His ways. He'll be here before you know it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you so much for the hope that we have through Christ Jesus. And we thank you that very soon you'll be gathering the saints, those who are asleep and those who are alive. Father, we'll be coming back together. And we'll always be in your presence. Father, may we continue to encourage one another, just like the epistle says there, Lord. That we not speak odd against one another, but encourage one another. And Father, as your Word shows sin in our life, let us remove it. Let us help one another. Very soon you're coming, and may we have a greater harvest for you. And we want to thank you, Father, that you tell us that you supply all our needs to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. As we gave our life to you, you just take it from there. We'll always have food, we'll always have shelter. And your Word also says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And again, that you supply all of the needs. And so we just lift that up today, God. We know that as we enter 2015, whatever comes our way, you'll be there, watching over and strengthening your body as we continue to be your voice upon this earth. And always, Jesus Christ, you be the glory. And Father, to you be all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May 2015 you continue to walk with the Lord in such a strength that, man, the demons do move out of your road. But rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. May his blessing be upon your household, upon your children's children, and upon all your loved ones. And may you be encouraged this year like none other year before to know that the Lord is coming, that he is our hope. And may we just celebrate that daily with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.